Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. In my Bible, I'm opening back to Romans 12. Would you do the same, please? We're going to read together in Romans chapter 12 tonight. And while you're opening there, we welcome all of you. Again tonight, as was the case this morning, we have so many people visiting us from so many places around this good nation, and we welcome all of you. I know some moms and dads went home today. A lot of moms and dads still with us, and will be for the next couple of days, and great to see all the college students with us tonight. We welcome you. Thank you so much for being with our church family this evening. We mentioned this morning, let me just mention very quickly before we get down to business tonight, that Wednesday night we will sing as we always do on that Wednesday night after the college students come back. And we invite all of the young college men who'd like to lead a song Wednesday night to come prepared to do that. It's always a wonderful evening. We look forward to that every year. And we want to remind our college students that next Sunday morning, we'll begin our college Bible class. We'll meet right over here in this far section to my right. And Brian Crispell and David Curry will be teaching that class during the fall semester. And Mr. Crispell and I will be teaching that in the spring. But in the fall, Brian Crispell and David Curry. And that'll be a great class on reaching for the hand of God through the avenue of prayer. So that will begin next Sunday morning. We want you to be aware of that. I want to mention one other piece of housekeeping business tonight, and that is when you came in today, if you're a member of this church, you probably noticed that our picture board has received a facelift. You know, for so many years, Mike Krim did such a great job in taking care of that for us, but now Jay and Becky Hilt are doing that, and they have taken new pictures of almost everybody, and that's been reworked and given us some more space to expand there. We very much appreciate their hard work on that project. And Jay and Becky wanted me to mention, we have a group of college students who are now kind of year-round students. And if you're wondering where your pictures are, they'll be up there just in a few weeks. We'll wait until we get, Jay and Becky said, until we get the college students who are going to be with us for this year. If they let us know that, they'll the bottom section of that board is designed for college students, and they will be up then. So we make you aware of that, and we appreciate their good work. It's just great to see everybody today. Appreciate you being with us. We hope for all of our college students this will be the beginning of a tremendous year for you. All of our kids go back to school this week, from elementary school to high school. Everybody gets involved this week. Makes for lots of happy moms and dads and lots of anxious young people, but we hope all of that goes very, very well. We try every year on this Sunday to say some things that hopefully will be very practical for our young people, but in particular, this day every year, we try to say some things that will be practical for our college students. So we want to try to do that again tonight. You see on the screen a representation of a calendar. The calendar of a typical family is marked with typical information. Birthdays are circled. Doctor appointments may be underlined. Special days are noted. The day school begins, the day school ends, family reunions, vacation days. I got a little bit of trouble this morning because I talked about, you know, students, you know, they have a month off at December and they get 3 months off in the summer. And I said, nobody else gets that unless you work for the government. Bob Paramore, who is our token governmental worker in this church, he let me know that that he does not get 3 months off in the summer. It's only 2 months. Who knew? I'm sorry. I apologize. Most people in their calendars, holidays are already printed on the calendar, and so it's already permanently on there. New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. But the one day on our calendar that, of course, brings the greatest challenge, the one day that we struggle with the most, of course, is today. Today. Now, we tend not to think of it that way. We tend to think, in the words of the Paul McCartney song, as we titled this, it's just another day. Now, there may be some special days along the line, maybe birthdays, weddings, graduations, baptisms, days that we purchase, maybe our first car, important days that stick out in our mind. But I want to ask you tonight, what's the greatest day? What's been the greatest day of your life so far? Well, maybe it was the day you were born. I mean, your life clock began ticking and your adventure began. Maybe it was the day that you took your first step, because that day brought you a level of independence that you had never had before. Maybe it was the day that you spoke your first words. And that was an important day because now you could communicate a little bit what you had been thinking. Maybe it was the day that you learned to read a book because that opened all kinds of horizons through the world for you. Maybe it was the day that you got your first job or you made your first friend at school or you went on your first date. Maybe it was the day that you fell in love. Maybe it was the day that your first child was born. Maybe it was the day that God became real to you. But there's another candidate, of course. The greatest day of your life is this day. It is this tick of the clock, and it's this beat of your heart. Why is that? Well, I would say, number one, because this is the only day you have. God doesn't promise us anything other than this day. We've got today, right now, and that's it. And secondly, every past day is irretrievably gone. Now, there are a lot of days in my past that I just quite honestly would like to go back and be able to pull back and do some things differently, but I just can't do that. And thirdly, every future day is intangible. I make plans for the future. I think about it. I've got a lot of days in my calendar in the future marked with things that I plan to do, but the fact of the matter is that I can't put my arms around those things just yet. I can think about them, pray about them, I can dream about them, hope for them, but they are not real to me just yet. It is this day, this hour, that is God's irreplaceable gift. It is this day where God is. And so this is the day that the Lord has made. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Jeremiah said, His mercies never end. They are new every morning. That is, He renews them day after day after day after day. And so Paul said, See then that you walk circumspectly. That is, with your head up, your eyes open, paying attention to what you're doing, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Read you a moment ago was Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I want to read that to you out of the translation of the Bible that we usually read from. It's familiar territory, isn't it? I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this church knows that when I read that passage as kind of a basis, that I almost always will show you a different translation of that. It's not really a translation. In fact, it's really just a paraphrase. But I think it strikes at the very heart of what Paul was trying to say. And so would you read it with me tonight? The Message paraphrase says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't ever become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I've got to tell you, I like that. Again, it's not a translation, it's only a paraphrase, and I understand that. But it seems to me that it makes the point accurately that the best place to get to go know God better is often, look at the words again, in your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and placing that before God as an offering. What's the point of that? The point of it is that it's not just another day. It's not just another day at all. This day is not an ordinary day. It's not an everyday day. It is a special day. This day is the day of your life that matters. And if by God's grace the sun comes up tomorrow and your eyes open in life, that day will be extraordinarily special as well. I read a book 2 years ago by John Maxwell entitled Today Matters. I recommend it highly. I'll tell you, everybody would do well to read that. It's a wonderful book that just makes the point that there are certain things that all of us can do every day to make that time period matter. When we do that, I want to talk to you tonight about three things that we can do, or we need to understand, that will make every day special. Let me just share them with you quickly tonight in the lesson's yours. Here they are. Number one, we need to understand, first of all, that every day is a new beginning. Now, every day is going to have its own challenges, its own problems, its own trouble, its own opportunities, its own good things, and its own bad. We are often stressed needlessly because we crowd too many yesterdays into today. Now, let me just ask some of the older people in this audience. How often do you forfeit peace today because you refuse to let go of yesterday or last week or last month or last year. In Western culture, we tend to think of a day beginning when either the sun rises or the Starbucks open. And we kind of believe that's kind of the beginning of a day. In the Oriental culture in which the Bible was written, it was different than that. God said the morning and the evening were the first day. And so we've talked before. For a Jew, Sabbath not begin at sunup on Saturday morning. It began at sundown on Friday night. Why is that? Why did God work it that way and teach Jews to think that way? Maybe it was to teach from the very beginning that everything doesn't depend on us. You know what? We go to sleep at night. And when we go to sleep and spend those hours sleeping, God goes to work. The world keeps spinning. The tides continue to ebb and flow. Lives begin and lives end. And all of that happens whether I'm awake to try to superintend or do anything about that at all. God takes care of all of that. I laid me down and I slept, said the psalmist, because my God was with me. So maybe what we ought to talk about is, as we have often said, you need to make sure that God gets the first words every morning and he gets the last words every night. And so maybe as we understand that every day is a new beginning, we should prepare for that by the last thing we do at the end of the day. And so maybe what we ought to do is make sure that we're giving God the last words of our day. Well, what would that look like? Well, I think it would be offering thanks to God for the good things of the day, our safety, our health, our productivity, for the good things that came into our life that day. For all of us, well, there's a long list of things that we could thank God for in most of our days. And it would involve confessing any unconfessed sins and just acknowledge them to God. I mean, he knows them already. I mean, that's what the word confess means, to say with. We're just acknowledging to God what he already knows. But I tell you what, before you pull your head and close your eyes and sleep, you need to ask God to forgive you of those things. Thirdly, we need to reflect on both the good and the bad. That is, we need to think about what we could have done better that day. How could we have handled something better than we did? We need to think about that so that tomorrow we'll, in fact, do that. And then finally, we need to pray for a good night of rest so that we can be refreshed as we face tomorrow. So, each day is a new beginning. And I'm just saying that maybe the best way to prepare for that is by the last thing we do before we go to sleep. Well, secondly, then, that would mean that each day should start with God. If we're going to end the day with God, it ought to make sense that when we open our eyes the next morning, that day should begin with God as well. Now, whether your day begins at 5 a.m. or 8 a.m. or the crack of noon, I'm saying that whenever it is that you open your eyes, those first minutes need to be given to God. I just want to suggest to you, whether you are a college student or a high school student or younger, whether you are a mom or dad or a grandparent in this audience, we would all do well. We would start our day much better if we would give those first moments to God. Let me suggest a couple of things to you here. Number one, we need to acknowledge God with words of worship. We need to begin by thanking God for this new day and for who he is in that process. The psalmist said, "Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever." We need to acknowledge his greatness, his goodness, his keeping us through the night. We need to begin by making that kind of connection with God and ask for his help, ask for his presence through the day. C.S. Lewis once wrote, and he said, "The moment you wake up each morning, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. The first job each morning consists of shoving those all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." What does he mean by that? He's just saying, you know what, in the morning when you open your eyes, you're just going to be crushed. If you're a college student with everything that's on your agenda that day, if you're getting up and going to work with everything that you need to get done that day, and the first thing you need to do is just push all that back and start your day by giving God the first words and thoughts of your life. Why should you do that? Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. We should do that because we understand that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, and there is no other. At the center of this world is not you, and it's not me. It is our God. We need to begin by worshiping Him. Not because He needs our praise, but because we need His presence. That's the best place we can begin. And then secondly, we need to ask God for His presence and for His help. The fifth Psalm, verse 3, says this: "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Tell you what I do in the morning. I pray to God, and I often say, "God, you know what I struggle with. You know what I have trouble with. You know what my weaknesses are." And all of those will come into play today. And I'm asking in my weaknesses for your strength. I'm asking in my failure for your forgiveness. I'm asking in this world for your presence. Ask God for wisdom to help you make good decisions today. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives to all men liberally. He will never chide you for asking. Ask for open eyes to see opportunities to serve him. Ask for deliverance from temptation. And the point of that is that we just need to connect with God at the beginning of our day. And then thirdly, we need to apply God's word throughout our day. We need to apply God's word throughout our day. Listen to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Let me show you a translation of that that puts in language that's a little more modern. One of the more modern translations interprets it this way: "I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so that I will not send myself bankrupt." I like that. "I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so that I will not send myself spiritually bankrupt." The fundamental question that you face and that I face, whether you're 18 or 80, it doesn't matter. The fundamental question we face every day is whether or not we're going to approach our day in our relationship with God saying, "Thy will be done," or "My will be done." And that leads us to our third and final point for tonight. And that's this: that each day will challenge our faith. I want you to listen very carefully. If I were to ask you tonight, what's the greatest challenge to every Christian's faith, young and old, what would you answer? I'll tell you what I would answer. I think the greatest challenge to our faith, whether you're a student in school or in college, or whether you're an adult going to work, I think the greatest challenge to all of us is compartmentalized faith. I think our greatest challenge as Christians is compartmentalized faith. You know what I mean by that? As one author said, it's the person who gives God priority some of the time, but not all the time. The greatest illustration that in American culture over the past 3 years has been the little cliche, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." Well, that's a catchy little phrase. But let me tell you, Vegas can be anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. We can adopt the mindset that what I do here stays here, and it doesn't affect my Christian life over here. It's very easy, is it not, to live one way on the Lord's Day when we're in this building, and another day when we are outside earshot or eye view of our friends or our family or our brethren. In the words of the righteous brothers, it's easy to lose that love and feeling for God and for others. Now, I'm going to tell you, that manifests itself in a lot of ways. By never sharing our faith with anybody, by making sure that we never pray in public so that we'll not be seen, by never truly bearing our soul honestly to God. It's seen by never opening a Bible in private or carrying one in public. It's seen by praying only sporadically and then just praying for wants. "God, I want this and this and this and this. Thank you for what you've given me. Now, here's my new list for this new day." It's manifested by criticizing preachers or teachers or elders when the message is not what we want to hear. It's manifested by sitting in the boat when we could be, by faith, walking on the water and trying to make a difference for the Lord in this life. It's manifested when we go to church and we never figure out that we are the church. I want you to listen carefully. Wherever you spend your day, whether that's at school or at work or in an office, a decision has to be made. And the decision is, what are you going to do with your faith? This is the bag that I carry everywhere I travel. This bag has been in most of the United States. And it's been a lot of places outside the United States with me. I never travel without this bag. When I travel, it's just a part of me. It's always on my shoulder. Or it's always on a carry-on bag that I travel with. But it's always by me. Let's let this bag tonight represent what we put our faith in. So I'm going to open it and I'm going to put some things in it that represent my faith. Let's suppose that I'm starting the day tomorrow morning. So I've got to get things ready for the day. Well, I'll put this CD in me. This is a CD of hymns of praise to God. And so here's my praise and adoration of God. It's a part of who I am and that I carry with me. And I'm going to put this book in here. This is my favorite book on prayer. And it represents the time that I pray to God and spend with Him as my day began. And I ask God to bless me today and give me wisdom today and help me through the day. And I promise God that I'm going to cooperate with Him. And so I'll put my prayer life in here. Here's the directory of the Temple Terrace Church of Christ. Because this represents an understanding that the way I behave today doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody who's in this church family. Now that's my physical family, my wife, my daughter, son-in-law, granddaughter. But it affects everybody in this church that in some way I represent. And so I'm putting this in here as a representation of understanding that the way I behave today affects more than just me. And I'm going to put this Bible in here. This is my dad's Bible. And I'm going to put it in here because it represents the fact that my dad and mom gave me a heritage. They gave me an expectation of how I ought to live before God. And they trained me and taught me who and what a Christian is. And the way I behave today will reflect on the memory of my mom and dad. And that also represents God's revelation. And it reminds me that years ago, on a summer day in Kennett, Missouri, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism, and I promised Him that day that I would live as His child. And so I put that in there. Now I zip it up, and I'm ready for my day. And now I go to school. Or I go to work. I'm going to go out with my friends tonight. Or I'm a businessman and I'm out of Tampa, Florida, and I'm in a place where nobody knows me or sees me. And I've got to decide what to do with what's in this bag. I've got to decide whether or not this is going to be a part of me. And whether or not now this is just who I am. And we're inseparable. Or whether or not I'm about to walk in the doors of that school tomorrow morning, that bag gets put down. When I'm going to work today and I've got a meeting, I'm going to leave that faith outside. I'm going to go out with some friends for a while. We're going to decide what part of Tampa we're going to go to. I'm just going to leave that faith behind for a while. Or I'm away from Tampa, Florida, where nobody knows me. I'll just leave that behind. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, is challenged every day as to what to do with the commitments and the promises that we have made to God Almighty. The point of it is that our faith and the integrity of our hearts are forever connected. The Bible says that since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we will not lose heart. We will not give up. We will not give in. We will do what is right. It's easy to get discouraged at school and in the workplace. Often there's more bad news than good news. And we need to remember that regardless of what happens at school or on the job or wherever it may be, we are part of God's redemptive purpose in this world. We are God's salt and we are God's light. We are, to use Paul's language, living epistles, known and read of all men. And we truly are. And we need to remember that as we do not lose heart, that we have to be people of integrity. In a world where integrity is often hard to find, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, we have renounced hidden things of shame. We will not walk in craftiness, nor will we handle the word of God deceitfully. We will commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. From the beginning, Satan has used deception to get his way in this world. And he'd like nothing for us to do the same. To be one person in this building on Sunday and another person outside of this building the rest of the week. He'd like for us to leave, as we said a moment ago, our faith behind. When we go to school or work, and when we go into a business meeting, when we go out of town, he would like nothing more than for us to become a completely different person. Let me say it again. Our faith and our integrity are inextricably tied. If we compromise that, then God says we have a perverse heart, and he'll never be pleased with that. The psalmist said in Psalm 25 and 2, oh my God, I trust in you. Isn't that the song we often sing in this church? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over thee. The only way that that can in fact be true is if integrity and uprightness preserve us as we wait before God. You have to be untouchable in regard to our faith. Last week, I was at home last week and I was flipping channels a week ago yesterday. And I saw a movie I hadn't seen in a long time. The Untouchables. And it's an interesting movie. It's well made. It tells the story of Elliot Ness and the FBI and his group of cohorts. And I remembered when I saw that. I remember that how they got their name. They got their name because Elliot Ness, in 1932, was making $2,800 a year. $2,800 a year. An envelope came to his desk one day at the FBI. It had $2,000 in cash and a note from Al Capone that said, if you will back off, you will receive an envelope with the same amount every week, every week. He was making $2,800 a year. He was offered $2,000 a week. And Elliot Ness refused the bribe and he went to the media and told what he had been offered. And the headlines the next day said, Elliot Ness and his men are untouchable. Let me ask you something tonight. Is there something that our adversary, the devil, could offer you that could cause you to take his bride? We have to demonstrate integrity in a world where that is often in such short supply. Now maybe that integrity is seen in really simple kinds of ways. Others show up late for work, you show up on time. Others coast, you give an honest day's effort. Others plagiarize the paper, you do your own research. Others are hateful, you be pleasant. Others are promiscuous, you retain your purity. Others cheat on a test, you retain your honesty. It's in the small things of life that ultimately we show who we truly are. And we have to do that day by day by day. It's not just another day. Thank you for listening so well tonight. Well, this could be for you your birthday spiritually. The day that you obey the gospel and are born into the family of God. There's no meaningless day when you're trying to do what's right for your Father. So maybe you're in the audience tonight and you know you need to be baptized into Christ. Or maybe you're here and you know you need to come home to God. There will never be a better day than today to do that very thing. And so if there's a response you need to make to God tonight in a public way and we can help you, please let us. Let's stand and let's sing.